Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, Tabernacle Family Church. How many of you are excited to celebrate Jesus in the house of God this morning? Give a shout of celebration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Sovereign One who left the throne to come after you, to come after your heart, to give His life and sacrifice so that you can live eternally with Him, so that you can live a prosperous, abundant life.
All right, good morning, everybody. We just want to invite you to come and worship with us. Feel free to dance and sing and praise your Jesus.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. And life begins and ends in the dust you form. And faith commanded, and the mountains moved. And fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. The dust you form, and faith commanded, and the mountains moved, and fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Again, and it says, nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. And I just want us to declare this over our lives, because with God, nothing is impossible. So as we sing this, I want you to sing it and declare over your life, over your family's life, over your children, over our county, and we're going to make God move.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on.
Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just lift up your hands in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, thank him with your mouth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? All the world can come to him, have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? The name of Jesus wonderful. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. Be lifted high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need.
Jesus,
You know what I love about that name? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. You see, Jesus didn't need the name. We need the name. Because while we're here right now, we have the authority in Jesus' name to cast out every devil. Can I hear an amen? Every sickness and disease is subject to us in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? God has given us a name that's above every name. That when we pray in the name of Jesus, he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. To some, it's just a swear word. To some, it's just the name of a historic individual. But to those who've been washed in the blood of Jesus and who have the covenant rights, we have the ability to call on that name and change the very atmospheres that we are in. The name of Jesus is powerful. Can I hear an amen?
There is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus.
Are you excited about the name of Jesus in your life? You know what I love about the name of Jesus? Is that our Father says we can come before the throne of God boldly. When we come in the name of Jesus, literally, not figuratively, the Bible says when you pray in the name of Jesus, that Jesus literally takes your prayer request and takes it to the Father. And says, Father, they've been washed in my blood. Whatever they say in my name is legal. It is a legal declaration. And at that moment, Father God says, release it. Whatever you need, God is waiting to release in your life when you pray in the name of Jesus. I love his name because it's not just a name. It's what's backing the name. And that is the one who paid it all so that we could have it all. God is good. Amen. Can you shout it out loud? My God is good. Amen. How many believe that this morning? On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell at least 5 people, my God is good. Come on now, don't be a snob. Make sure you say hello to somebody today.
is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Quickly turn around and say, good morning.
We've got four holiday events coming up in the last week of November. We're going to be doing the Elmira Holiday Parade, Holly Days, and Sparkle. Each of these are an event hosted by the community where we get to participate and share the love of God. We're going to be having special holiday sweatshirts. They're going to be green. And if you'd like to come and sign up and help serve our community, there's going to be a sign-up sheet at the Info Center. You can also email me at outreach@histabernacle.com or go to the website at www.histabernacle.com.
Family, big news. Groups are ending the end of November, which means you need to get into one as soon as possible. Last month, we had almost 200 people attending a group, which is amazing, but that still means there's a couple hundred of us not connected every week to the family of God. I want to encourage you, if you're a group host, throw your hand up real quick, nice and high so everybody can see you, and keep it up. If you see someone close to you and you're not a part of a group or you haven't been connected, maybe you haven't been going, I want to encourage you to find somebody and get signed up or come out to the front desk and we'd love to get you involved. We're going to be covering two amazing topics and every single person should be in one so we can be connected as the family of God and we can grow together. Make sure you sign up. Have a phenomenal day.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How is everybody doing on this cold, snowy morning? Y'all may not be happy about that, but who is happy to be in the house of the Lord, where there is freedom, where there is liberty? For the Bible declares where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. So if you are free in this place, give your God a shout of praise. Amen, amen. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We are so excited you could come and worship with us this Sunday morning. If this is your first time here as a guest, could I just see you lift up your hand? We'd love to recognize you. Look at all the guests in the house. Come on, put your hands together for our guests. Amen. If you have not received a guest packet, please keep your hands lifted up. Our amazing team, they're coming through the aisles right now. Inside that bag, you're going to find a mug, a gift from us, but most importantly, I want to personally invite you to our guest reception. So to your right, my left, after this service, you could just exit out those back doors and come down this hallway, and there will be a nice roped out area for you for our guest reception. We'll have free coffee there for you. You get to meet some people on staff, and we want to just thank you for coming out to hang out with us today. But today you were a guest, but we're believing that next week you're going to become family with us. Amen. So get up for our guests one more time. If you're watching by live stream, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys as well. Tuning in every single week faithfully. We love you. You are part of our family. I have two quick announcements I want to share with you guys today. If you have a phone, bring it out. These are some important dates you've got to bring out. All right? Who here has not been baptized? If you have not been baptized, this is for you. December 2nd, we're having our next baptisms. You do not want to miss this. This is always a powerful time. It happens right during our service. You can invite out your friends, your family, your loved ones. This is going to be a momentous time in your spiritual walk. So if you have not been baptized, please visit our website or go out to the information center in our foyer and get signed up for baptisms for either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. on Sunday, December 2nd. In addition to that, Sunday night at 6 p.m., we're having our next Rock Solid Faith graduation. Who's excited about that? It's going to be an amazing time. If you have completed Rock Solid Faith or Next Step, Step 1, you are eligible to be part of this graduation. So please, can y'all give it up for our senior pastor, who is looking dapper today? Show off those socks. Show off the socks, Pastor. Come on, somebody. If you have completed step one, please make your way out to the information center and get signed up for the graduation. Sunday, December 2nd at 6 p.m. Again, invite out your friends, your loved ones. We want to celebrate you as you're taking this next step in your spiritual walk. Amen? Who's ready for the rest of the service? Awesome. Let's have Pastor Rhonda.
It is awesome to be in the house of God. I just love, love, love the presence of God. It never fades. It never gets old. It never wears out. He is just good all the time. Actually, I think he gets better and better all the time. Our revelation of him gets better and better all the time. But as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, you know, I don't want to have to do finances without the supernatural power of God all over my money. Because when we walk in the principles of God, when we choose to obey in the tithe, and now listen, I have a scripture for you today. This is Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, and it's red letter. It's actually Jesus speaking, and he says, "You pay tithe. This you ought to have done." So this is Jesus telling us that we should pay our tithe. And tithe simply means 10% of our income. This is why he tells us that we should give. Because he doesn't ask us just so that we're giving money. No, it's so that we can walk in that supernatural kingdom finance where blessings chase us down and trip us up and where the impossible happens. Brother Avanzini taught us that the open heaven even is far more than just finances. You know, in Malachi, when it talks about bringing the tithe into the storehouse, it says so the windows of heaven will be opened unto you. That means heaven on earth as it is in heaven opened in your life. The miracles, the signs, the wonders. So the beautiful part, when we obey and we tithe as we ought to do according to Jesus in Matthew 23, 23, then the windows of heaven are open to us. We have access. We have a covenant right to all of the promises of God. We can come boldly, as Pastor says, with the name of Jesus, knowing that the windows of heaven are open over our lives. And that's how I want to do life. That's how I want to do my finances. So if you're ready in this house to tithe and sow today, stand to your feet. We're going to make a supernatural declaration again from the Word of God, because we believe that this Word is above everything else. Anything that we can say, it's the Word of God. So today we're going to declare the Word of God over our finances, not just our finances, over our open heaven. Are you ready for open heaven? Repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28. It says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. To the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Heaven thundered and the world was born, and life begins and ends in the dust you form. And faith commanded in the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. But your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Praise the Lord. I hope you don't mind. We just need a few moments to do a TV cut. Is that all right? How many of you watch His Word TV every Sunday morning? ABC at 9 a.m., 8 a.m., amen. We'd encourage you. Maybe you have some folks that won't come to church, but they'll watch the television program. Right now, they're figuring about 15,000 people from our region watch that every single Sunday. And so we want to encourage you. In fact, I've met pastors. They actually watch the telecast, they watch the TV program, and then go preach their own services. Hopefully, they're not stealing the sermons. That's all I got to say. So, are you ready? Here we go. Okay, we need quiet in the set. Yep. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and you're watching. Oh, you know what would be really fun? When I say you're watching, you guys shout His Word TV. Okay, you ready? We'll do it together. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and you're watching. That's right. Welcome live to the sanctuary of His Tabernacle. We're blessed to have Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth with us, and he's going to pray over the region today.
Father, in the name of Jesus, my prayer is that not one person listening to me right now will miss heaven, nor their family, nor their children, nor their grandchildren. I dare in faith to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would speak to every heart to turn from sin and to turn to Christ while there yet is time. I pray that you'd take them from where they're at to where they need to be. And I pray that in their heart they'll always know that there's no sin in their life greater than the forgiveness of God. May they call upon His name even now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's get ready. Let's go to the main sanctuary and hear the word of God. Cut. You ready? We'll do the outro now. We'll do the outro. Here we go. Some of you have never seen this before. Here we go. 5, 4, bring it right in tight. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's right. Jesus has a word just for you. You know what? If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, today is your day. You heard Brother Tiff pray in the beginning of this telecast that you need Christ. So let's pray. If you would like to receive Jesus, I'm not asking you to join a church, not asking you to join religion. I want you to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to pray right out loud with me. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you love me and that you have a plan for me. I'm making a decision today to serve you the rest of my life. I'm never going back to the world. I declare that you are God, that you rose from the dead. And today, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, that means you're born again. We have a free Bible for you. We want to encourage you. You need to get down here, 16 Level Acres Drive this morning. Don't forget we have a campus in Ithaca too, 609 West Clinton Street at 11 a.m. I don't know about you, but I'll see you in just a little bit. Cut. We are so blessed today. Yeah, listen now, if you don't know that television's on, man, you need to jump. That's the folks that will come to that. We are so blessed today to have Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth. He is one of my great friends, but not just a friend. He is a true man of God. The one thing I found is there are a lot of folks out there who are called evangelists, but there are very few who see as many souls saved, genuine salvations, as this man of God. And we are blessed to have him here every year. I love having him every year because it's a time of harvest for your life. So will you welcome with me Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth?
Thank you. Well, I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joy with you I'd like to share. I'm gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. I'm gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship. I am going so far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until all heaven rings when I leave this world goodbye. Can't scarcely wait. I know I don't want to be late. That's why I spend my time in prayer. For when my ship comes in, I'm gonna leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Sing it if you know it. I'm gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship. I am going so far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until all heaven rings when I leave this world goodbye. Yes, I'm gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship. I am going so far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until all heaven rings when I leave this world goodbye. When I leave this world goodbye. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Soon he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Sing it with me. Oh, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
How many are glad to be in the house of God today? Coming back to his tabernacle is not like a preaching assignment to me. It's like coming home to family. And I consider you all my New York family. And it's a blessing to be with you today. How many of you know it's a blessing to be in America today? I know there's a lot of negative things that are going on in the country. I know a lot of negative things are being said about the country. But I've been in 58 countries of the world, and trust me when I tell you, we still live in the greatest nation on the face of this earth. With all of our faults and frailties, my prayer is still, God bless America. And so glad to be here. Pastor, as he mentioned, is headed over to the church in Ithaca to speak this morning. And I'm always excited when the pastor leaves and turns the service over to me, because the offerings are always so much better. And no, I'm kidding. But I want to say publicly that I honor Pastor Michael and his precious wife, Rhonda. And I love their family. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stay an extra day tomorrow. I asked Pastor, I said, would it be possible just to get all of the family together and have a meal together tomorrow? I would really enjoy that. And so we're going to, if the Lord tarries, we're going to have some time of fellowship with them tomorrow. But God has blessed your church with a precious family, and they're the real deal. We were talking yesterday, and God's doing great things in the church. They were sharing with me about the tremendous move of God and the young people, and Pastor Cody and his wife, Mindy. And by the way, Mindy, I don't know how much airtime you get, but I love you, and I'm so proud of you. If I had any job in this church, I'd probably want Mindy's job. She deals with new converts and helping people that are just coming to Christ get plugged in and assimilating those young babies in the Lord. And I am so proud of you. I really am. You and Cody as well, and Chad and Jade, and I mean just the whole family. They're just doing wonderful things for the Lord. I hear your young adults ministry is topping 100 and doing outreach in the streets, and just so many good reports. What an incredible church his tabernacle is in Horseheads, New York, tucked away here, and we just appreciate so much. Now, how many of you know there's no such thing as a perfect church? You know, every now and then as a guest speaker, somebody will corner me and say, let me tell you something you don't know about this church. Yeah, let me tell you something about every church. Every church has imperfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect church. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor. There's no such thing as a perfect staff. All of us are human beings who are dependent upon the favor and the grace of the Lord. And as I'm getting older, one of the scriptures that's very meaningful to me is in Philippians, where the Bible says, make allowance for one another's faults. We're all imperfect people. If you'd get to know me better, you'd find out that I'm an imperfect person. And we all depend upon the Lord every day. And we should walk with that humility, shouldn't we? But this church isn't perfect. But I'll tell you right now, I've been in 56 countries of the world. It's one of my favorites. I love coming to his tabernacle church. And I've seen you through the years, from your infancy to where you're at, and I just believe your best is yet to come. And somebody said, how are you dealing with the cold and the snow? Were you discouraged? I actually drove in a fairly rotten storm to get here. And I don't always drive everywhere, but I drove here. And the first 5 hours were treacherous, one of those days where snow and ice and cars off the road and in the woods and bent around trees. And I saw an 18-wheeler that had flipped. It looked like another 18-wheeler went through its trailer. And it just looked like an 18-wheeler junkyard for about an eighth of a mile on the Massachusetts Turnpike. Traffic backed up, not even moving for about 16 to 17 miles. And thank God I wasn't headed in that direction. I was headed west, and that was east. But it was just one of those days where you drive all day, kind of white-knuckled grip on the wheel, and getting baptized in the Holy Ghost every third exit. But but we made it here safe and sound, and we're going to have a great day in the Lord. Let me say right up front, all of you that might be guests, I'm always excited when I go to a church and they recognize guests and visitors. And some of you have been invited here by friends or families. And some of you just came because there are people that keep inviting you. You figured the only way you're ever going to get them off your back is to attend a service. And so you heard there was a special guest and a singer and a guitar player. And maybe you came and thought, well, this is it. I'll be able to say, hey, I came. And you're just wondering when it's all going to be over so you can run out the back doors and get back to your normal Sunday habits. But I want to say this very clearly, right up front. Don't miss this. If you don't hear anything else I do all day, don't miss this. There's nothing more important in all of the world than being able to lay your head to the pillow at the end of every day and know that your heart is right with God. To know that if it were all to go down. By the way, most of you know I preach on prophecy and have been preaching on it more and more since 2016. After our extended fast in January, I really felt the prodding of the Lord to really begin to get top heavy in our preaching on prophecy. But many of you may or may not know it. I mean, we have witnessed in 2018 significant Bible prophecies that point to the end. And those of you that are not students of the Bible, you know, when they declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, first of all, God declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel over 3,000 years ago. So it's always been recognized in heaven as the capital of Israel. And Jerusalem will also, in the end times, the Bible say it'll be the capital of the entire world. But for it to be recognized officially as the capital of Israel on May 14th, 2018, Israel was declared a state May 14th, 1948, 70 years to the exact day. Daniel spoke of a series of 70s in the last days that would be a sign of the end. And then not only that, and many of you may not know this, but they just recently, the end of August, August 28th, a red heifer was born in Jerusalem. Now say, what in the world, a red heifer born in Jerusalem? Would you believe that's in the Bible? It's actually in the Bible. Now what you may not know is there have been red heifers born, but not a flawless, perfect red heifer. It was brought before a board of rabbis that certify these types of animals for purity. It can't even have one white hair. If it has one white hair on the entire body, it's not an official red heifer. This was the first one born in over 2,000 years. Now, what significantly, prophetically, does that mean to you and I in 2018? Well, I spoke to you about Jerusalem and how powerful that was. But did you know that the Bible says that when the Antichrist arrives, that he'll establish a peace treaty with the world and in particular with Israel, but he's going to betray that peace treaty halfway through a period that the Bible calls in the book of Revelation the Great Tribulation. But the Bible says that prior to that, they're going to offer a sacrifice of the red heifer. They have in the Jewish culture what's called a justification offering. And it has not been offered in over 2,000 years. The Bible said that during the tribulation, they'll offer that sacrifice with a red heifer. And people for years said, well, that's proof that the Bible's not real and prophecy's not accurate. And there hasn't been a red heifer born in 2,000 years. There's not even a temple in Jerusalem. And for those of you that don't know, the temple is all completely built. It's already pre-built, all ready to be assembled. And so 2018, I'm not preaching on prophecy this morning, but I'm just helping you to understand. If I were an unsaved person, or if I were a backslidden person, or if my heart were not right with God, or even if you have a question mark in your heart, wondering, well, I'm a good person. How many of you know being a good person doesn't make you right with God? The Bible said there is none good but one, and that is God in Mark's gospel. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you're here today and you've never sinned, please stand up. We'd like to see the biggest psychopath in Horseheads, New York. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I want to tell you right up front, if you don't know me, at the end of every service, wherever I'm at, and people were asking me about being discouraged by the snow. I said a month ago I was 160 miles out of Siberia, so I'm not worried about a few snowflakes here and there. And unfortunately, I saw snow all the way back in the beginning of October where I was at. But again, how many are glad you live in the United States of America? But if you don't know our ministry, my goal in life is to help men and women and boys and girls find right relationship with God. And I always give an invitation when I'm done speaking and give people an opportunity to pray with me what many people around the world call a sinner's prayer. And so can I ask you, have you ever personally and publicly repented of sin, asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and received the gift that the Bible says salvation is a free gift, received it by faith, and made a commitment that's genuine? Because if you've never done that, or maybe you once did, but you're away from the Lord, and you're really not living in victory over sin anymore, sin is living in victory over you, then when I give the invitation at the end of the service, I want you to prepare your heart even now, because that's why I'm here. I promise you, that's the reason I'm here. And I love your church, and I love your pastor and his family, and I love the fellowship that we have. But I wouldn't come here if it weren't for specifically having this opportunity. I don't need places to preach. I'm on a mission. I don't have a job. I'm on a mission. And my mission is to help you get right with God. So I say that up front. Just get your heart ready and pray and say, Lord, give me the courage to do that at the end of the service. And I don't want anyone to leave today without knowing in your heart beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're right with God. Because trust me when I tell you, it is almost over. All of the chaos, all of the hatred, all of the vitriol that you see in our nation and around the world is not falling apart. The world is falling into perfect agreement with end times prophecy. In the last days, things shall wax worse and worse, and there will be lawlessness among men. And the Bible says, if possible, the very elect will be deceived. How many can just raise a hand in childlike faith and say, I want to be ready to meet the Lord when it all goes down? I hope that's your prayer. If you brought your Bibles today, open with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And while you're turning, I want to just give you a quick update. As this year comes to an end in the next few weeks, this has been the greatest year of ministry for Lost Lamb Association. We have seen more first-time decisions for Christ this year than we have ever seen. We have seen 47 new churches planted. Listen to this, 47 new churches planted through Lost Lamb International Crusades this year. We've never had more than three in a year. This year we've had 47 churches that have been spawned out of Lost Lamb Foreign Crusades. And so I'm just going to show you a few pictures of this morning. And normally we do videos, but recently I was in the second largest Muslim country in the world. And this is passing out Bibles, baptizing new believers that had given their hearts to Christ. By the way, it's significant to see a woman with a Bible there, going into villages and praying for the sick and ministering to people. Those are my mercenaries. I traveled with a group of mercenaries everywhere I went. This man was brought onto the stage in the large event crippled and walked off healed after 12 years. That's one of the events there. I was just in Alaska in the month of October. Those were all native people giving their hearts to Christ, baptizing native people. And by the way, they came in from all over and with just sleeping bags. So they just stayed and slept on the church floor and rooms and Sunday school rooms and fed them, had three services a day, had a great time in some of those unreached villages. So thank you, His Tabernacle Church, because you're one of the churches that stands by this ministry and helps us. I want to say this humbly, both in the presence of the Lord and in your presence, but my goal is I want Lost Lamb Association to be the most proficient soul-winning ministry that this church holds hands with. That's my goal. And this year we have seen almost 37,000 first-time decision cards that we know of. 37,000 first-time decision cards that have been filled out. That doesn't count recommitment cards. That doesn't count people coming back to the Lord cards. First-time decisions for Christ. I think we're going to probably top 37,000 before the year's over. And people say, well, you know, you shouldn't be concerned about numbers. Well, the last time I read the Bible, there's an entire book in the Bible called Numbers. And any simple businessman or businesswoman will tell you, if you can't quantify numbers, you probably are never going to progress or succeed. So I absolutely believe in keeping track, because first of all, every one of those numbers represents an eternal destiny. So numbers are not trivia with me. It's a way of being able to sit down at the end of the year and to see if we're still moving in the right directions that we should be moving in, because how many of you know that everything God blesses increases? And that's what I'm preaching on this morning as I segue into the title. By the way, they're going to receive an offering for Lost Lamb Association at the end of this service. What I'm going to do is not one penny of what you give is going to go to the ministry. In other words, it's not going to go to the general fund. I'll not receive a penny of it. It won't go to staff salaries or operational costs. And by the way, again, I want to be transparent in this. If you have an evangelist or a ministry in and they need every single dime you give to pay for their car and to buy gas and to feed their family and to get to their next meeting, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's honor in that. The Bible says those that preach the gospel should live by the gospel. But I've been at this, believe it or not, now 40 years, and God has been faithful. But I thought what I'd do today, we expended, I'll just put it this way, large sums of money this year on foreign crusades, and we're coming to the end of the year with our foreign crusade fund almost depleted, which is good. It's actually my goal by the end of the year, everything that God entrusts into our hands, we want to just put that into ministry. But we also like to start the beginning of a new year strong as we make those plans. So will you pray today about doing something for, if the Lord tarries, our 2019 foreign crusades, and just be obedient to the Lord. And 100%, there's nothing taken out of that for any operational costs at all. Everything that comes in designated for missions is actually in a separate bank account, separate funding, separate reports, separate audit. 100% of everything that you give today is just going to go into our foreign missions crusade. Help us to start the year strong. It would be a great encouragement to us. And there are needs all over the world that I'll not take the time to share. Now, for those of you that have been blessed in a significant way, and this isn't everybody, but if God has blessed you in a significant way, will you pray today about sowing something significant into foreign missions crusades? And because the Bible says both those who go And those who stay by the stuff receive equal reward. The Bible tells us that. And so you share a part in Lost Lamb Association by your giving. And I want to say a heartfelt thank you. If you didn't come prepared to give and you want to stop by the ministry table, there's envelopes there. Even if you give today, just take an envelope and do something for missions between now and December 31st. And me and the Lord and people all over the world that need him will be very appreciative. Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you have your Bible. How many of you know a sermon doesn't have to be eternal to be divine? I told Pastor yesterday I have this beautiful beaver and sea otter hat that a lady in native villages in Alaska made for me. And I was at a church, and the pastor's a good friend of mine. And the church has been a part of Lost Lamb for many years. And the pastor said, show the people that hat. They would really appreciate that. And I said, are you sure? Because I'm sure there's got to be somebody in your church that supports PETA, and I don't want to cause any trouble for you. And he said, no. He said, our people will enjoy seeing that hat that lady in those villages made for you. And so I showed them the hat, and sure enough, this lady hollered out from the auditorium, not at the top of her voice, but she was the only one heard when she spoke. She said, is that made out of real fur? And I said, yes, ma'am, it is. Unfortunately, the polyester sea otter is now extinct in northern Alaska. Lord, I apologize for being snide and ask you to help me as we go forward. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I want to speak to you in the moments that remain on this subject, how to increase the blessing of God in your life. I'm a very practical person, both in personality and in life execution. I believe in the supernatural, but I'm not a super ethereal person. I believe that God works by systems. I believe God works by covenant. I actually believe God works by work ethic and faithfulness and sweat and blood and tears. And so a lot of times when I minister the same way. I'm not interested in sharing with you a theological masterpiece that causes you to walk out and marvel at my theological intellect. I like to give people something that helps them Monday through Friday in the real world. And there's a lot of teaching on prosperity and the blessing of God and favor, and some of it's great and some of it's trash, and some people don't know how to figure out the difference, and some of it has integrity and some of it's very greasy and carnal and has false motives. And I deal with a lot of people in the course of a year, and you can imagine there are questions that people have on these matters. So I sat down one day and I went through the scriptures, and I want to, if the Lord will help me, share with you, how do you increase the blessing of God in your life? The very first command that God gave in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, was be fruitful and multiply. You were created for growth. Not only were you created for growth, you were created in the image of God. Now, if you've read the book of Genesis, you know that that's right up front in the story of creation, that we were created in the image of God. But what does that really mean in a practical way? What it means is you were not created for sin. You were not created for sadness. You were not created for dysfunction. You were not created for failure. You were not created for poverty. You were not created for disease. You were not created for suffering. You were not created for pain. You were not created to chase your tail in circles until you die. You were created in the image of God. And until somebody opens the Bible and explains that to you, you're going to live like the average person that surrounds your world. But I'm here to tell you today that the Bible is more than just a holy book. It is a compass from earth to glory, and it shows you how to get from where you're at to where God wants you to be. And if you believe that and receive that, give God a mighty shout of praise. Now, here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses has summoned all of the Israelites, all of the tribal leaders, all of the judges, all of the officers, all of the men, the women, the children, and even the foreigners that were working among them. And they're all standing before Moses, and he begins to review the covenant of the Lord. And as Moses gets all of these people together, Moses is getting old. And he's now realizing the things in life that really matter. And he realizes that he has few opportunities to give fatherly advice and godly wisdom to the people that he's been called to lead. And so this is one of those occasions where Moses gathers all of those people together to give them one of the key success ingredients of life. And here's what he says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. This command, and let me pause right there. He's about to review the covenant of the Lord. Salvation is more than just a religious experience. It is a day when you break the curse of sin over your life and walk out from the curse of sin and into the favor and the blessing of God. And God is a God of covenant. And this is exactly what Moses, as the father and leader of the people, is about to do. He's about to break down the covenant of the God that they serve in practical terms. And so he said, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand or to perform. Pause again. The covenant of God is not difficult. You don't have to graduate from seminary to understand the covenant of the Lord. You don't have to have a high school education to understand the covenant of the Lord. God takes the greatest truths in the Bible and presents them in such a way that even children can understand them. That's why children flocked to be around Jesus. Jesus knew how to communicate to people in a way that wasn't so theologically over the common person's head that they walked away wondering, how in the world do I implement that in life? Children flocked to him because they were created in the image of God, and spiritually, like a magnet, they were attracted to the basic truth of how to live. This is what Moses is saying. It's not difficult to understand or to perform. Verse 12, it's not up in heaven so distant that you must ask. Who will go to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey it? Now pause again. You cannot understand the covenant of God until you take your busy life and pause to listen to it. So I want to commend you today for being in the house of God on Sunday. That's why God, when he gave us the Ten Commandments, which is a structure of the covenant, said work 6 days, but one day belongs to me. It wasn't because he was trying to make you super religious. He just knows that if you never pause to hear it, you'll never have the power to obey it. Not only did God understand that, he understood that if you never take a day to sit under the tutelage of the power of the Bible, you will have 7 days where you will be under the tutelage of a cursed world. And if you live 7 days under the tutelage of an ungodly world, it will not be long before you'll be caught in that ungodly atmosphere and making ungodly decisions. And your whole life is going to revolve around your job and your money and your toys and your accumulation and your self-worth. But that is not life, and that's not the covenant of God. Your life is more important than the car you drive, the house you live in, your bank account, your pension, what you have, what you've accumulated, all your toys, all your stuff, and how you feel about yourself. And if you don't think the world lives that way, read Facebook for 3 minutes. You must hear it and obey it. Verse 13, it is not beyond the sea so far away that you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear it and obey it. Notice how many times Moses reiterates, hear it and obey it. Because a lot of people will listen to you, but they'll not take your advice and obey it. And that's a waste of time. And that's why the Bible taught us, don't cast your pearls before swine. Not everybody that asks your advice has the intelligence to carry it out. Verse 14, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Verse 15, now listen, today I am giving you a choice. If you're taking notes, write down a choice. Almost everything that happens in your life, good or bad, is because of a choice. He said, I'm giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster. Let me think about that. I choose prosperity. Between life and death. Let me think about that. I choose life. You understand what Moses was teaching when he said it's not too difficult to understand? It's simple choices between A and B. And God gives you the ability to make decisions in life that will cause you to move forward. But if you try to live your life without God, as simple as those choices are, you're always going to mess up. Because without God, you have another magnetism inside your body, which is called flesh. And the sinful carnal nature of the flesh always will pull you in the wrong direction. That's why you hear people say, why in the world did they do something so stupid? How could somebody that graduated from college, that has an IQ like they have, make such an idiotic decision? I cannot understand that. I can. You have a nature of the flesh and a nature of the spirit. Your spirit man was created in the image of God, and when your spirit man is in right relationship with God, you automatically make right choices. But when you live without God, and you live without the Bible, and you live without spiritual teaching, and you live without spiritual accountability, and you're not saved, and you've never repented of sin, and you've never prayed the sinner's prayer, and you don't care about a relationship with God, then trust me when I tell you, you live in a body of flesh. And I don't care how smart you are, the magnetic tug of your flesh will always pull you into wrong choices. Why would that woman? She's been married 5 times. And she's married the same type of man 5 times. When is she going to learn? She's not. That's the magnetism of her flesh. And it'll always pull her to self-destruction. Until she comes to God and gets freed from the nature of the flesh. You're awful quiet this morning. That's why we take the offering first. Yeah. Or in my case, I'm taking it last. So God help me in Jesus' name. Now you know I don't preach for the money. I preach for the truth. Because I learned a long time ago who's my provider. How can I expect the blessing of God if I don't love people enough to look them in the eyes and tell them the truth? Today I'm giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster, between life and death. I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, laws, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and become a great nation, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and to occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, how simple, not complicated, you just turn away and you don't listen. And that describes a lot of people. And if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Verse 19, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses, and I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life, don't miss this, that you and your descendants might live. That you and your descendants, did you catch that? When you make right choices with God, it'll not only change your life, it'll change the destiny of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Isn't it time somebody in your family broke the curse of sin? Isn't it time somebody in your family broke the curse of poverty? Isn't it time somebody in your family broke the curse of dysfunction? Isn't it time somebody in your family broke the curse of failure? And when a person gets right with God, it not only affects you. The Bible says the covenant will begin to affect your descendants. Most of you have heard our family testimony, but to give the brief summary of it, my father was the very first Shuttlesworth to ever get saved. My dad, he's gone home to be with the Lord, and because of the gospel, we'll meet again. But he was the first. What he didn't know as a young man in a coal mining town in West Virginia with no biblical understanding, he didn't even know there were books in the Bible. He didn't know there was an Old Testament and a New Testament when he got saved. The family had a Bible that wasn't open. He just thought it was a book. He had no idea about anything. But he was the first Shuttlesworth to get saved. Long story short, his salvation not only changed his life, it changed his descendants. Same story with my mother. Both of my parents came from pretty much abject poverty. But there's four boys in the family, Ted, Tim, Tiff, and Terry. All of us are in the ministry. Now, a third generation, all of our children, my brother Ted, my brother Tim, my brother Terry, myself, all of our children that are old enough are in full-time ministry. One person's decision to repent of sin and to receive Jesus Christ broke the curse of sin and changed the family's destiny from disaster to blessing, from death to life. So when I give the invitation in just a moment, you're not just praying a sinner's prayer at an altar. You're literally saying, God, I want to live under your blessing. By coming to an altar and repenting of sin and saying, I want to be a real Christian, you may not understand everything about God. I'm sure you don't. I've been studying the Bible for pretty much my entire life, and I'm still learning every day. I'm still studying and learning all the time. But you don't have to get your life together to come to God. Do you know how many thousands of people I've heard through 40 years of ministry all over the world that basically have said the same thing? Preacher, I believe that. I'm not hard-hearted, but I'm just so messed up right now. There's some stuff I got to get straightened out in my life before I can come to God. Let me tell you something. I want to help you. Don't miss it. You don't straighten out your life and come to God. You come to God and He'll straighten out your life. You don't get your act together and come to Christ. You come to Christ and He'll help you get your act together. That's why that old hymn that Billy Graham had sung in his crusades for the invitation, all of his ministry, I still love it to this day, an old hymn that says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That's how you have to come. Now, I was going to preach today, but all I have time for was just to read my text. Because this service has a conclusion point. We have another service. And I always allow time for an invitation. So I'm not going to apologize for only having time to read the Bible and to break it down for you. But if the Lord helps me and the Lord tarries one day when we get back here, I'd love to preach this message to you. How to increase the blessing of God in your life. Let me just give you two things in conclusion that will help you on the road to increase. Number one is hear. Number two is obey. What you listen to in life will determine the speed of your increase or the speed of your decrease. Who you listen to, who you hang out with. Young people, and I say young people, even old people make bad company choices. But one of the most problematic issues in North American culture is that people don't realize how important it is the people you hang out with. The Bible says in Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, bad company corrupts good character. And many people fail in life because they just choose bad friends and they hang around bad places. And they say, I want to be a Christian, but they're not making any changes in the company they keep. They're not making any changes in the places they go. They're not making any changes in the music they listen to. They're not making any changes in the stuff they watch for entertainment. If you want to be blessed, what you listen to, what you expose yourself to, is incredibly important to the process and the speed of development in the favor and the blessing of God. Let me just give you a perfect example. Let's say you're a young couple and you've recently come to Christ, but you're struggling with your finances. And somebody like myself comes as a guest and talks about the favor of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord, and you feel disconnected because you're trying to figure out a way to make the rent every month. That might be discouraging for you. So let me give you some good advice, like an old father would. There are people in this church that don't struggle in making their rent. There are people in this church whom God has blessed. There are people in this church who have lived the covenant for a long time, and it now has its fruit in their life. There are businessmen and businesswomen in this church who know how to be successful. Humble yourself and seek out good counsel. Be humble enough. That's why the Bible says the older women should teach the younger women. The church needs to realize that ministry is not just about whoever's standing here on Sunday morning, but every child of God, you have things in life that God has taken you from places you shouldn't have been to places where you're glad you're at now, and God has shown you favor and blessing. You have a responsibility to help the other people around here that you know. Don't just leave that to pastoral staff. And so if you're humble, you'll seek out somebody and say, listen, I'm just going to humble my heart. My wife and I, we just got saved. We're just starting to live for the Lord. We don't know a whole lot about the Bible, but we're sincere. And here's a practical part of our life that we're struggling with. Will you help me? Do you know what the answer will be? Yes. So then you have to make the choice. Am I not only going to listen, but am I going to obey? Because all of the golden advice in the world is worth zilch for people that don't have the IQ to put a plan into action. And God will help you. And in closing, and again, this isn't the message, I just read the text, but I just wanted to leave you something practical before we pray. Here, make time every Sunday to be in the house of God. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Make time every Sunday. It's one of the Ten Commandments. If you don't listen to the covenant, then don't be surprised by your dysfunction. But if you'll listen and obey, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. This is not me saying I'm urging you to go to church. I'm saying it's God saying it's a part of the covenant, that without that covenant functioning in your life, you're going to fail. If the house of God is not more important to you than the things of the world, then you're always going to go in the same circle of problematic issue. But I am here to tell you, be in the house of God every Sunday and come with a humble heart and don't be critical. And get a Bible and a notebook or a smart tablet and start learning the principles of God and exposing yourself to something every Lord's Day that will protect you like a holy hedge of divine protection every Monday through Saturday. And hear the word of the Lord. And then purpose in your heart and pray. Ask God. Say, God, I need you to help me. This is all new to me, but I want to be the real deal. I want to be a real Christian. I've not always been the most disciplined person, but you said you'd take me from disaster to blessing. So I know you'll give me the disciplines that'll help me to get from disaster to blessing. I'm starting today. I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you believe that and receive it this morning, give God a mighty hand of praise. Stand to your feet with me, please, across the sanctuary. Maybe in service number two, I'll get a little further than just reading my text. I can make no promises. As I told you at the beginning of the service, I never preach without giving people an opportunity to pray with me at an altar of full surrender and consecration. When you pray with me today, this has nothing to do with being Protestant or Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. Those are all cliques and clubs created by people, and I'm not being critical, but I'm just telling you, in heaven there's not going to be Protestants and Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians and on down the line. There's going to be people who are right with God. Because God doesn't love religiosity, He loves people. He loves you. But there has to be, don't miss it, there has to be a time in your life when you both personally and publicly repent of sin and receive Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a very simple question. Do you have a clear, distinct memory of a time in your life when you've gotten down on bended knees in the presence of a holy God and said, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've messed a lot of stuff up, and I know I've grieved your heart, but today I recognize my sin and I admit it to you and I ask you to forgive me. I'm trusting in your grace and in your mercies. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me this day to begin to live a Christian life by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that? Have you ever personally and publicly repented of sin and received what the Bible says is the gift of salvation? Why do I say personally? Because nobody can do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Your mom can't do it for you. Your grandpa can't do it for you. Your grandma can't do it for you. Whoever brought you can't do it for you. Your best friend can't do it for you. People on Twitter can't do it for you. Nobody on Instagram can do it. You've got to do it. Has to be personal. Has to be personal. No woman has ever married a man that proposed and it wasn't personal. Hey, I'm thinking about marrying that girl. Will you go tell her that I'd like one day to marry her if she's free? No, it has to be personal. There has to be that heart-to-heart connection. It has to be sincere. Why do I say public? I'm aware that there are a lot of churches that don't even give invitations, don't even pray sinners' prayers, preach against it. But how many of you think that the Bible should be our model for how we live? Everybody Jesus called, He called publicly. In the New Testament, every single person. Every apostolic sermon in the book of Acts, which is the model of the church, they called the people publicly. Water baptism in the New Testament was actually an ordinance because they didn't have church buildings. They were the first century church. They were just getting started. They were still meeting in houses and public fields. Water baptism was an ordinance in the first century church where they publicly, at common places of gathering water, declared their allegiance to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, listen, Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, if you confess me publicly before men, I will confess you openly before my Father which is in heaven. But if you are ashamed of, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and the angels. So the Bible just said it. If you confess me publicly, say, but man, standing there in front of people publicly, I'm scared to death. Good. It's about time you recognize that you had a flesh nature that is in opposition to God. And that's exactly what that is. That fear of coming forward, that fear of praying, that's that flesh nature that's been dragging you around your entire life in wrong directions, saying, don't do that. Today, by coming forward, you're telling your flesh, you're no longer going to dictate my life. I was created in the image of God, and by God's help, I'm going to follow after a new direction and a new covenant and a new purpose. Now listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to keep you. I'm not going to make a spectacle out of you. I'm not going to blow you over. I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer with you. Very simply. Now, if you need courage, listen, I always ask those that have the courage in just a moment as they sing a song of invitation. Those of you that have the courage, you'd be the very first ones to come. Why? Because your courage will help somebody else that doesn't have your level of courage. That's just human nature. It's not weakness or frailty or a problem. That's just human nature. Some people, just for whatever reason, they have greater levels of courage than other people. But if you invited somebody, I'm going to ask you when we give this invitation to just turn to that person and say, I'll walk with you. If you want to make that commitment this morning, I'll walk with you. I'll pray with you. And I'm going to kneel right here. And as you come, we're going to pray together before they dismiss this service. And by coming to this altar, you are saying before God, personally and publicly, I want to live under the commandment of God. I want to live under the covenant of God. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I choose life. By coming to this altar, you're saying, I choose life. I choose blessing. I choose prosperity. I choose forgiveness. I choose the cross. I choose Christ. And if God's been speaking to your heart and you need to make that commitment, whether it's the first time you've ever done it, I always make room in our events and crusades for people that are backslidden away from the Lord. Hosea 14:4, I will love you freely and I will heal your backsliding. So if you once did this, but you're backslidden away from the Lord, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not pointing any fingers of condemnation at you. I'm telling you, God's a God of second chances, but you need to get it right. You need to come as well. And if God's speaking to your heart, you start coming right now. We'll give you time to come, and then we're going to pray together. Come on, God's speaking to your heart. Today's your day.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is
the blood. Come on, I'll wait for a few more seconds. Don't play that tug of war with your flesh anymore. Let today be the day that you say, God, I'm going to do my best. God will help you with every other choice. Playing that very quietly, we're going to pray together with these that are here. First of all, I'm really proud of you. To do what you did takes real courage. It does. Anybody can live for the world. Anybody can hop into a river and float with the current and follow peer pressure. It takes real character and real consecration to say, I'm not going to just follow the crowd anymore. I'm going to follow the direction of God in my life. And today's your first step. I'd like for as many men as we can have to come and stand by the men, as many women as we would want to come and stand by the women. They need to know that the family of God welcomes the family of God. Now I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud with me. And when we pray, no whispering. I want you to pray out loud. I don't ever want you to feel that you have to be ashamed in the presence of God. And when people don't pray out loud or they're whispering, that really is the root as to what's going on. They're ashamed of their life, wondering, will God really forgive me? No, He's your Heavenly Father. You're not coming to God today as your judge. You're coming to God today as your loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. And He said, all who call on my name shall be saved. That's not my promise, that's the promise of God. So pray this out loud with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, today as I was listening to the Bible, you were speaking to me. And down deep in my heart, I want to be a real Christian. The Bible says all have sinned, and that includes me. But today I repent of my sin. And I trust in the cross of Jesus Christ.
the blood that he shed forgives my sins and heals my body. In childlike faith, I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. This day, I choose salvation. I choose life. I choose blessing. I choose favor. I choose the prosperity of the Lord. And I'm asking you this day, lead me in the ways of God from this moment forward. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me the power to make God decisions from this day forward. I am a real Christian. No turning back. And I thank you. I'm saved. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Those of you that prayed that prayer, there are altar workers here. Where are they at? Wave at me. Sister Mindy's right down here. And if you'll just walk that way, and not to quote an old song, but if you'll walk that way, be sure to fill out a card. We have some gifts we want to give to you and thank you for what you've done. God bless you, His Tabernacle Church. As Pastor Rhonda comes, listen, will you pray about what you sow into Lost Lamb? Stop by the table as you go. God bless you.
Before you leave this place, we want to be able to prepare a seed offering for Brother Tiff. If you've been believing God for salvation or you just want to see breakthrough in your life, this is good ground to sow into. So please don't leave yet. We're not closing the service. We want you to prepare your seed to sow into good ground. Salvations are happening. If you're believing for salvation and breakthrough in your life, prepare a seed. Sow it into this good ground where salvations happen every time He preaches. We want to sow into this. So ushers, if you'll bring the buckets forward, please. Ushers, right to the center. We're going to go ahead as we dismiss and depart today. We're going to bring our seed offerings forward. So go ahead and prepare those. There's seed envelopes in your seats. And go ahead and bring those forward. We're going to bless you with worship as you go. Bless people. Share Jesus with somebody this week. Share the gift of salvation that you've freely been given with others. As you go this week, bring your seed offerings to the Lord. Thank you and have an awesome Lord's Day today.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. In faith commanded, and the mountains move. In fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on.